Okay. We good? We'll keep going. All right. Excuse me. So good morning. And before I open up in prayer, I just want to bring us back up to speed a little bit because we are in kind of a mini series here. This just, again, we've only touched on the first part of the first verse out of Zechariah. But we'll be continuing on in this. But the Lord has been really opening up this couple verses as really a part of something that people who have been here a long time have heard over and over again about the coming to God with a blank piece of paper and having him fill it out. And in reality, we're finding out through this verse that he's already filled it out for you. And what he's waiting for us to do is the things he's told us to do. Okay? And they're not hard things to do, but what I realized in this next part is because we have not done them, and we've ignored or we have come to God filled out with our things that we want to do or we want him to do for us, that opening, that negligence that the church has enacted has created a very, very, very unfortunate circumstance that now it becomes an even more difficult task to get to this point. So I understand with today there might be some weight to the message, but I hope that you'll hear what the Lord is saying. Keep your tomatoes in your bags. And take what God is saying today and really reflect upon not just where you may have let things slide in that in your own personal time, in your own personal life, but also the bigger picture. So take a personal reflection, but then also take a look at the bigger picture. Because this isn't just a us or a single out thing. This is a big size thing. It's not just small. It's big. And I want you guys to just hear that. So we come back to this to-do list, that is coming out of Zechariah 8 verses 16 and 17. We are seeing from last week how truth, just that first verse, right, which was speak each man the truth to his neighbor, and how there's a situation in that with truth being under attack. We talked about how Jesus came to defend the truth because truth was literally on trial, right? And it's still to this day, it's being attacked in every vein, in every aspect. And I brought up all the examples that I brought up last week. It's still a part of this second part, but it's in a different vein. So we're gonna pick up from where we left off last week, but now we're gonna really hit this other area, and we're gonna highlight really key one word, and hopefully you guys will understand where we're going. Amen. So Father, I just pray for hearts that are ready to receive, minds that are open. Father, I pray that your word would have its effective work in our lives, that it would continue, God, to transform, renewing our minds, and giving us more of who you are, more of your plan, your purpose, your will, your direction for our lives, that, Father, we would reflect the perfect image of Christ, and that we would execute the things you have given us to do by your strength, by your power, by your might, that in all this you would be magnified and glorified. Father, have your way with your vessel and have your way with your people this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So let's get in. We are talking now. So we had the concept of the standard being presented in a sense, but now we're talking about a responsibility of us keeping this standard. And so there's a responsibility we have in the things God gives you to do, that you are to maintain them consistently. Does that make sense? Okay. That's why when we go into things and when I say, you know, you need to read your Bible, why is that so important? Because this is going to be the constant reinforcement of what you believe. And if you don't read it, you're going to lose sight of what you believe because there's more things being brought out from the world that are going to contradict this. And you're going to start listening to those voices and you're not going to hear what the Lord's saying anymore. And so, yes, you can easily be disavowed of everything that the Bible says that we know to be true by people who just espouse something is false about it because you don't want to go and dig deeper into God's word. Amen. All right. That's a reality that happens all the time. It's a known thing. But if you do take the care for your walking, that the part that we're going to get to today in Zechariah is more about how are you reinforcing? And so we'll start there. These are the things you shall do. And we covered this last week. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Then give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. We're not going to go any further now. That's it. In your gates. And judgment. These are some phraseology words that we have to just unpack a little bit more because it's very easy for people to get offended by the word judgment. I know that already. Stop judging me. But we aren't talking about judgment of a person. We're not talking about judgment of a situation. We're judging something very specific. What's being judged? Truth. If we are going to be dealing with truth in everything that we deal with, we have to weigh the truth or the veracity of it, correct? Okay. In that then, we need an advocate because I am a bad metric or measure of what truth is. Everyone in this room cannot be a good measure of this is true. Everybody out there is an even worse measure of what is true. Because there's full of confusion, right? So, if we cannot render clear, sound judgment on our own, keep that in mind, in this area of truth, what makes us think that we have any business even messing with the other two, justice and peace? Minus an advocate, we are disqualified. Can we agree with that statement? Okay. This is why we need to understand what in your gates means. We are going to spend some time here. And how it relates to specifically today, because this is OT stuff, so it's very hard sometimes for people to get the concepts and translate them into modern time, but I'm going to do that part for you today so you don't have to do the hard work. But we also have to understand how the applications of truth, justice, and peace look today also, because what they mean has not changed, but how they look today has. Amen? And so, bringing it back to the main part of this entire series, this is in your to-do list. It said, these things you are to do. Speak truth to your neighbor. Semicolon. And now we're here. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. So let's start with the gates. Inside the gates speaks of something specific. Gates are used to do what? Keep things in, right? It's also to keep things out. It is a sectioning off, right? Because gates usually also come along with what? A wall or a fence, right? Right? A gate without anything else surrounding it is kind of dumb, right? You don't build your house and then you put a gate in front of it and you have no fence. Gate becomes kind of stupid at that point, right? Not useful, right? So a gate is not just a gate by itself, but a gate comes with walls or some kind of structure to encapsulate a location. Okay? Gates that obviously have walls that are containing what inside of them? Not just people, but dwellings, multiple dwellings. Probably a whole city or a kingdom. Yes? Okay. It's very important we get to that point. All right? So we have a controlled environment. The reason you put walls and gates up around a area is so that you can keep that area in control. Let's use our current situation here in this country. We had a previous president who decided to tear down the gates. What happened? You had a bunch of people who were able to come in that don't share the same values, do not share the same principles, do not have the same laws, do not operate by the same rules or anything in any regard whatsoever. And when those people are in your kingdom, they are going to cause what? Chaos, problems, right? Because they are violating all of the rules, all of the regulations that govern the people that are within that controlled environment. But getting the benefits of the protections of the kingdom without having to follow the rules of said kingdom. Now, this is a very simplified version of why you'll hear me on a separate point in conversation outside of this space telling you why I am very much in favor of people that do not legally belong here being moved out of the country. It's not I don't like people. But there's a right way to come in. And there has been a right way to come in, which is through the gate. This is important. Let's just expunge upon this just a little bit further. That environment is not just controlled because of the gates. But it's controlled because there are rulers and elders and overseers and laws that are all operating and making that area function and do as it does. And in this particular case, we can go a step further and understand that these walls, this gate protecting this kingdom, is not a dwelling that is just a regular dwelling place, but this is a place where also God dwells. This is a place where the Lord is welcome. Amen? And that in this place, as the Lord speaks and leads his people, that he would be the government of the people. And this is very important because they're being led by the voice of the Lord. And that law that God has provided for those people comes from him himself. Amen. And so in this place, in this area, there's law. There's order. And it's understood by all who dwell within that this is the place where God's righteous judgment would be rendered. That if you violate the law inside these gates, that there is a violational consequence for doing so. Now, I don't know about you, but if I break the law in this country, regardless of what law it is I break, is there not a consequence that I would have to pay for the violation? Right? But if you're not from this country, do the laws apply to you? They do not. Why do you think we're sending them back? They can break our law, but there's a limitation to what we can do because they are not under or respectful to the government that we are respectful to. So we have to deal with that situation, and this is a real life translation of something that is being brought here in this case, but I don't want to spend too much time because that's not the subject. But if we look at this very specifically, and we take in this consideration the concept of gates, a wall, a specific place that is sectioned off. This is where God's law reigns. This is where God's voice is heard. This is where God's rule is the only thing and established and the only way. And we guard those gates. We are now making sure that all that is contained in this dwelling, in this area, in this space, is indeed by him and by no other outside influence, keeping that which is holy, holy. Amen? But if you don't have that standard, that you don't think the gates matter, let alone that they need a guard, that they need a watchman, that they need to be closed, that we need to take care of who we even open the gates for. Guess what happens? You let that come in. And so now, keep this in trend, track with me here. So we open the gates a little bit here and there, but we still keep them closed. But we let some people in that maybe are a little fishy. But these people tend to start working themselves into the places of authority. Then they become people who then tell other people, hey, this is how we're going to change things. It goes apart and away further from God and what his voice is saying and how it's supposed to be done. And then all of a sudden, you have no wall, you have no gates. You have no kingdom. You have no law. You have no order. And then you lose peace. You lose truth. You lose justice. How important are the gates? These things have been lost. This standard that God has set for us right here in Zechariah has been lost. And it's not just due to a lack of reverence for God, but it's because the church has removed the gate. Because we decided that we have to be welcoming. But we have to love all of them. We have to let everybody have a chance. Everybody should be able to come in. Should everybody be able to come into the presence of the Holy God? Last time I checked, that if God's presence is here and you bring your garbage in front of him, you're done.
Well, you pastor, you got to back that up.
Okay, read Ananias and Sapphira. What happened to them? Really, really, for a very small infraction. Dead. Dead. What about Achan? Not just him. Whole line. I will tell you and show you with scripture more and more that supports why we have to remain in a place where God's holiness it's sacred, but there's another word, but sacred will work fine. I'm still tired and not fully awake yet, so I apologize. But we have hit a point where we, because have not had gates for so long, we are dealing with and fighting so many battles within the kingdom that should never have existed to begin with. There should not be a such thing as a lesbian pastor. Why? Those things don't mix. According to the word of God, they don't mix. How are you here? How did you get in? Because the gates are gone. And they've been gone for a long, long time. And so if you continue to try and operate in the kingdom of God according to the law and the principles and the order that God sets, but you have open borders, you are fighting a losing battle. Why do you think one of the first things our current president decided to do was close the border? You cannot fix a leak until you stop the leak. It's a real simple problem. More will come in. until you close it off. And I want to address this from a point where you understand, though the examples kind of correlate to people, this is not a people problem. It's not about a lesbian pastor. That's a person. I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about the idea that that person represents. These are standards that are violated day in and day out in the church where God is supposed to live, breathe, and be with his people, but can't because there are so many violations that he cannot be present. Because he won't be there. Sorry, lesbian pastor person. I don't know who you are, but God's not in your church. How do I know? Because it's against his standard. And he's not going to be there. So what are you entertaining? What are they worshiping in that church? That's scary. Because they're calling on the name of Jesus, but Jesus isn't there. It's not even a feel-good Christianity. It's false worship. It's false doctrine. It's bad. It's very bad. But when we are entertaining ideas, practices, principles, and things that come from outside that perimeter, that wall, it is all going to stand in violation to what is supposed to be contained within. And then the more and more of it that gets in, the more and more of the law gets dissolved, the more and more the law gets discredited, rewritten, redrafted, changed, the voices become less and less of God and more of people, and you start entertaining other things. And I use this as an example of Achan, but bringing it back to Achan, what was Achan's violation? The Lord spoke and said specifically, do not bring anything back from the battle. Kill them all, bring nothing back. Do not take any spoils. What did Achan do? He brought it back, but the lie and the hide wasn't even the violation. The simplest of facts that the Lord said, do not bring this into the walls. And he brought it into the walls. I want you to see why it was such a heinous violation and why the punishment was even more punishment. Because it wasn't that he disobeyed the law. It's not because he lied about it. It's not because he hid it. It's because he brought something unholy into the place that is not to have anything unholy in it. He opened the gates, and as a person who was supposed to be able to come into the gates, because he is supposed to be a respecter of the holiness that God has set as the standard, he brought something that broke the standard. And it had to be punished. We have to understand that God means business about his standards and him not being corrupted by any wicked, evil thing. Why do you think this is as precious as it is? The Bible, the written word of God. There's going to be so many people who are going to tell you that's not true, that's false, it's a lie. Why is it still the same thing that it's been since time in memoriam? It is the oldest historical document. There is none more accurate in the world than the Bible. And people still want to discredit it. It's not news to people wanting to discredit the Bible. That's not news. But if you allow them to get a hold of it and change it and augment it, and you don't protect it. This is why I written Bible. I like a digital Bible as much as the rest, but you need a written one. Because they're going to try to get everybody on digital so they can change what it says. And slowly but surely, guess what you're going to start reading? blasphemy, false doctrine, and false teaching. And you're going to think, but that's the Bible. So let's take a look at how we can see this in today. So let's bring it to the New Testament. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 5. And we'll do 8 and 9 first. So verse 8 says, "This persuasion does not come from him who calls you." 9, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." We've heard that phrase before. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is why God took the approach he took in the Old Testament, because that little item that Achan brought would have effects that go far reaching and far beyond if it was not punished with the exceptional punishment it was given. Because if it was tolerated, what would happen? You'd have more of it. And it would grow, and it would get worse, and progress, and progress, and progress. So it needed to be stopped, and abruptly stopped. And the consequence needed to be so jarring that you would not think to do that ever again. But we're not allowed to bring those consequences anymore, Jim. We're governed by outside government. Because we let the gates stay open too long. Or we've just taken them down. If we don't stop those little things from happening, and this is why I said this is going to seem very difficult, and I started in the beginning with personal reflection, but then see the big picture, because you can only control your personal input, right? But there's things that you're going to be combating against that have nothing to do with what you have put in. Because it's been open for so long. But we'll get back to that in a minute. But look at things from that perspective and then see it today. How many exceptions, if God sets a standard, you using grace to bend that standard is not grace. If there's a standard that God has set, that is, this is to be kept, this is to be done in his way, in his order, in his decency, and we say that's grace, that is a manipulation of grace. First of all, I don't know about you, but I'm not the distributor of grace. God's the distributor of grace. I should be warning you. That's what I should be doing. You are in danger. Seriously. But we don't do that. We say nothing. Because we think saying nothing is being gracious. I'm being gracious. I'm not going to say anything. Look. I'll stand up here and I'll put myself on the spot. I got accused of that a few times because I didn't jump in and I didn't say something at a moment. And the Lord rebuked me. And I had to deal with a few of those licks because I didn't speak up and I didn't say something when I should have. I told you it's going to be a personal reflection point. But how many times do people make exceptions or excuses for even themselves or other people that stand completely contradictory to God's standard and what God says? This is the way we're supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to live. This is in accordance with God's word. This is how I'm supposed to treat this situation. You're like, well, does he have a thing about how to deal with this? Do you read your Bible? He does. There's no situation I can guarantee you could think about that isn't uncovered in the word. He's told you how to handle it. It's in here. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. I mean, I could keep going. Envy, murders, drunkenness, lewdness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to all those things that were listed. Right? That's a lot of stuff, right? How much of that is found inside the house of God? How much is found in the house of God constantly? There are ministries dedicated that are only dealing with people who are struggling with adultery. a whole ministry in a church dedicated to people who are in adulterous relationships. One, I go, how is that a thing? These two should not be, correct? That's what that says. Is that not what that says? I want to make sure I'm not reading a bad version of the Bible. You guys who have better versions of the Bible than mine, maybe you have a different wording. But mine literally says that these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They have no business being in his house. But not only are they not supposed to be in his house, they're not supposed to be entertained yet, because we have not done a good job by guarding those gates, having gates, keeping the gates closed and away from things that want to come in and infest and do these things. We don't only have all of them in, but we some struggling. I've been around people who've had conversations and there's lewdness in it. Or I hear people talking about situations and aren't real. But to not call it what it is and to tell them that the continuation of this in your life is disqualifying you, and this is why. What did they do in Scripture, in the New Testament? What did they say if you were doing things that went against the standards that God set? That they would do what? Where would they put you? They would throw you outside the what? The gates. And then they would stone you. And if you managed to survive that, you had to do a lot more to, if you wanted to even come back in to those gates again. Because there was a standard and there was a consequence for the violation of things that that opposed that standard. I want you to understand, when we turn around and say, that is not acceptable, you don't do that in the house of God, that warning means if you don't stop, outside the gates is where you will reside. How many people get kicked out of churches? None. Do you want to know why? Because their money's green and the church needs their money. It is something that needs to come back into the house of God, if you want to ask my opinion. And I know there's a lot of churches that aren't going to do it because they don't want to pay the price for that standard being kept. Guess what? If it means I don't get a paycheck, but God's going to be in this house, so be it. Nobody's money is worth it. Not $1. It's not worth it. Why do you think they preached in a cave? Why do you think they did things in the way they did things? Because to keep the standards of God meant you were going against the things the world says is okay. And that's why you needed gates. That's why you needed to keep it sanctified, to keep it set apart. These are important things. And that because we've lost it, not only is building the gates going to be step one or two, better get your Nehemiah out, okay? We're going to be building the walls and building the temple again. Amen. I don't even know if that's prophetic. We'll just let that one hang out there. But we're going to be having to kick all of the riffraff that don't belong in here out. That's the hard part. Christian Ice, coming soon to a theater near you. All right? You don't like it, but it's going to be a thing if we want to actually get back to the things that God says is what holiness in his house looks like. You're going to have to kick out your lesbian pastor. Tell her, we love you, but you're not welcome here. We have no gates. We have no guards at the gates. We've let these things unfold. And we can't even start to render judgment because we have not set a place for the judgment to even be rendered. How can you render judgment at the gates when you don't have gates and the things that you need as an advocate, God Almighty himself, as an advocate for truth, cannot be in your kingdom because he cannot be present with the riffraff that you've let in? Think about that. How can you then stand and say, we don't tolerate that in there? You know what they're going to do? What about the guy who just told you to tell me that. He's having an affair with three people. There goes your leg. You have nothing to stand on. How real is that currently in the church today? Why have people in mass left religious institution after religious institution? Because the people who are in charge of those institutions are violating the very laws that they hold everybody else to while telling them they need to uphold that standard that they don't. Sounds like the Pharisees. You're right. Sounds like enemies to Jesus to me, is what it sounds like. We have not done some of the most basic things. And I'm going to throw some scriptures at you real quick. 1 Peter 1:16. I'm not going to flip through the Bible because I have to go to another one. Because it is written, be holy as I am holy. If holiness is a standard and we have to be holy, that means if you violate that, guess where you should be? Outside the gates. Need the gates first. We have to bring not just ourselves to the standard of holiness, but we have to make his sanctuary, that where his truth, justice, and peace reside, a most holy place. Because how can we stand and say that God rules and reigns in this place where truth, justice, and peace reside if it's not holy? If it's not holy, guess who's not there? He is not present. And not only that, but we have to guard it, according to 1 Timothy 6:20. Guard what was committed to your trust. Avoiding profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Why do you think that is even in the Bible? Why is that written? If it wasn't a warning. That's a warning, is it not? Against what? Against things that are going to come in disguised as knowledge, that are going to go against things that you have been given to guard, to defend, to protect, to keep from being violated, to keep sanctified. And if we don't take that seriously, and we entertain things that are, well, it makes sense to me, well, this guy said this, and it really clicks, and it really gels. Man, he pointed out how this scripture violates that scripture, and you're entertaining things that sound great because they presented a good argument. You let down your guard. Not only that, but if you're in the house, guess what you're doing? You're bringing your unholy babble in. And you're saying, well, it's just as good. No, it's not. It violates God's word. We have to recognize that the gates are there for a reason, and we have to keep a standard that God has set. Amen? And that it is important that that standard be kept. And I'm going to try and get through this next part fast, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Do you have the definitions part? There should be a slides thing for the definitions. There you go. Bing. You got it. So in, we talked about the second part is we have truth, justice, and peace, right? So we're going to look at these real quick from their meaning, and I'm going to point out something that the Lord revealed. Truth, 1828, says conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Then you have justice. Perfect. And this is the virtue which consists in giving to everyone which is his due. Practical conformity to the laws and principles of rectitude in the dealings of men with each other, honesty, integrity in commerce or mutual intercourse. And that's not the intercourse you think it means. And then peace. In a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation applicable to society, to individuals, or the temper of the mind. Peace isn't in there. It should be in there. If you had the other two, peace should have been in there. I don't know why peace wasn't in there. All right. So, but I have it here, so that's fine. All right. Now let's tie all these together real quick. Okay. And this is why these three words are very much important in the gates. Truth is the measure to which we all must conform to. It is called undeniable truth. Amen. That means you cannot deny this truth. You must align to this truth. Amen? So when we say what the word of God is truth, that means the application of the word, the truth, means conformity to it. It is undeniable. Amen? All right. So if that is step one. Justice is how we keep conformity to that undeniable truth by implementing dues for conformity and consequences for nonconformity. That's what justice is, right? What does a judge do? He renders justice. Justice is you either are free because you were acquitted of the crimes that you were accused of, or you were given justice in the form of nonconformity, which means you did violate these things and there's a consequence for the violations. Correct? Justice is not in favor of one or the other. That's why we say justice is blind, right? Here, because justice is, it's just the judgment of yes or no. Did you or did you not? It doesn't care about anything else. It is clear. But it does line up with truth because truth has to be there in order to determine whether or not you are conformed or non-conformed. You can't make that judgment without truth. Amen? All right. That's justice. Peace. This is the one that is so immensely important. Of all the things, peace. Because peace is the measurement that we use to determine if there is nonconformity. As it will go against the standards and bring agitation because it goes against that undeniable truth or the standards that God has set. I don't know about you, but I have come across people that have not spoken, have not said things. Matter of fact, I hate this time of the year. Why do I hate this time of the year? Because it's a stupid holiday, right? But the stupid holiday is not the reason I hate it. The stupid holiday is a product of the reason why I hate it. But I hate it because I can't go places without my spirit being agitated. I cannot go into a grocery store without my spirit being agitated because there are things that are robbing me of peace because they go against the truth of God. And they stand in not just in an opposite place, right, of nonconformity to the truth, but they throw it in my face and they're getting away with it because there's no justice for it. So the justice has been removed, the gates, and there's no justice being held, so I have to suffer without peace. Think about that. How many times has somebody come in and disturbed the peace of your home? But when your peace in your home is disturbed, you want to get that peace back. And so you remove whatever is disturbing your peace. Or you ask for whatever or whoever is disturbing your peace to kindly leave. Right? Why? Because who wants their peace disturbed? Who actually wants their peace disturbed? That agitation is not comfortable. This is why we get agitated when the world tries to set a standard and say, this is the new normal. legitimate, what is it? Legitimate, I can't even say the word, stupid LGBT. This is the new normal. No, it's not. It absolutely is not. Stop trying to make it the normal. It is 2% accurately. It is not normal. 2% is not normal. It's not. 100% is normal. 2% is the furthest away from normal you can get. That's a rarity, an oddity. Is it normal to get struck by lightning? No. You know what your chances of getting struck by lightning are? A fraction of a percent. That's not normal. Right? It's we can say verifiably things that are not normal are considered exceptionally rare by lower number percentage. But when you tell me that lower number percentage is normal, it is opposite of truth. It is nonconformity. That is correct. And so these problems have become more and more normalized because we had no gate. We had no guard at the gate. We had no watchmen warning us that the adversaries were coming at the gate. None of it. Because we have tried to do something yet again in our ability or our strength that we simply do not have the ability or the capacity to do it. And this is not something that we can do apart from Christ, because I need an advocate. And Christ is my advocate. Amen? And I cannot do any of this apart from Christ. I need Jesus in order to be able to render sound judgment. I need Jesus in order to stand for truth. I cannot stand on it on my own. I need Jesus in order to correctly disseminate whether this is a conformity or a nonconformity to the true standard that he proves and tests time and time again. I need Jesus in order to keep the peace by setting that standard and continuing to lead me into the correct decisions and the correct standards to keep and the correct judgments to render. At the gates, not in the gates, at the gates. They don't get to come in, they're stopped before they get in. All this gets summed up in a couple verses, and I'm going to close out with these verses. But you got Isaiah 9 verse 6. You got it behind me there, brother? So you got it behind me, right? Sweet. For unto us a child is born. Who are we talking about? This is the foretelling of Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Think about that. Not only is that his name, but it's also a title. He is the authority of peace. He's the central figure for keeping and guarding peace, and he guards peace through truth. That same truth that when he sat and stood in front of Pilate, that he came to defend because truth was being violently assaulted and attacked. And his peace that he has been in charge of was threatened, because if truth were to go away, peace would no longer be. And then in Isaiah 42 verses 1 through 4, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged. till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. And if you want to see this confirmed, you can go to Matthew 12, 18 through 21, and it's carried. Still going forward. You don't have that one. I know. That's your own personal homework. You can follow it up with Matthew 12. And then John 14, verse 6. This is Jesus telling us. How do we get it done? It's through him. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. But because we have not done something so simple as at the gates, render judgment for truth, justice, and peace. That these would be protected and cherished and upheld as standards within the kingdom of God. That because there was no gates, no wall, no guard, nothing, we have a lot of violations, a lot of violators, and a lot of situations that are not going to be comfortable for God's people, because it's not just worldliness. Because the world's out there still, and the world's still doing what it's doing. But it is a tearing down and an erosion of the standards that God has set for his people to be kept by his people, for his people alone. You may be like, well, Pastor, you're really kind of setting this up as though it's some kind of exclusive club and there's a membership and you know you need to get your card. Yeah, actually, there is. It is an exclusive club and your membership card is Jesus. And guess what? Only you who call on the name of Jesus should be in his club. I don't think that that's a radical standard to keep. Because only people who truly love Jesus and understand what he has done and what he has given and the reason why he needs to be, not him personally needs to be protected, but what he stands for and the government that is on his shoulders represents needs to be protected from anybody who would want to come and tear that down and water it down and say that his blood doesn't actually, his name doesn't actually, his name doesn't actually say that. Well, that's not really his name. That's what we're going to get caught up on. We're going to get caught up on Yeshua versus Joshua versus Jesus. We're going to get caught up on that. Really? That's our stumbling block? Versus the other thousands upon thousands of garbage things that you're letting in? Because we gave names to people. I want them to keep finish. I actually want them to finish. Seriously. This is a joke, church. I just want you guys to know, but understand. A joke being like, can we like get rid of the harder names in the Bible? Like, and make them into like John and Mark and Luke and Matthew. And can we keep that tradition going? Cause there's a lot more names in here that could really use some better versions of their name. I'm just saying. Okay. But we're going to get caught up on that versus the standards of truth that are being violated because we're mishandling or we're misusing or we're misappropriating God's word in areas it doesn't belong. We're trying to use things to violate the world standard outside. And instead, we've let the gates wide open. We've tore down the walls. We've let the intruders come in. And now when you come back home to your safe haven, it ain't even your home no more. It's just another outlet of the world. I told you that this one is going to require some reflection. So go back. Spend some time with the Lord. See where you are. See where your standards have been let down. The things that you have accepted and tolerated and made provision for that go against and violate the standards God says that they're supposed to be set. You know how to handle that. You know what to do. I don't need to spend the time talking about that. But when you've sat down and you set those standards up for yourself, take a bigger look outside. Take a bigger look at the standards across the world that are being violated. And take an examination of where that gate, where those weak spots, those holes, those openings are. Because I truly believe that since this is on our to-do list, I pretty much think that God's really going to be having us spend some time, and I jokingly said it, but rebuilding the wall. Rebuilding the gates. Putting them back on the hinges. Securing them. Putting the locks on. Because guess what, guys? It's not going to get better out there. If you read the ending, you should know how it goes. It's not going to get better. I think we need to be more ready than we think we need it to be. And I think even something along the lines of people going, oh, the 144,000, that's not a very big number. Might be more real of a number than you think it is. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to profess the name of Jesus. Say they did, say they did, say they did. And you're going to come face to face with him and he's going to say, I never knew you. Just because you say his name, just because you read his Bible, doesn't mean you know him. There's a higher standard for knowing Jesus. And it's only contained in the kingdom that's got to be protected by the gates. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the extra time you've given me. Father, I pray for your people to just continue to reflect upon this. Any who are listening, God, that they would just hear your voice. They would hear what you're saying. They would see it through your word and they would just recognize that there are a lot of bad actors. There are a lot of people out there that need to repent. And I pray that, Lord, as you speak and you move, that your grace and your mercy would go with you. Your forgiveness would be extended, Father, so that your people can get this cleaned up and get it right. And I pray that each one here, God, would do the same work. But I pray that we would really, truly take this to heart and take it seriously as it is. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I ask you to pour out abundantly upon them as we continue on our day. Bless them richly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.